Today we want to focus on this thought. And I want you to pay close attention today because I have not used these scriptures before, and there's great insights here to how to really have victory through prayer and fasting is something that the Bible adds to prayer. It's not just about fasting, it's about praying and boosting your prayers with fasting. And I need you to really listen today. And I want to show you how you can benefit, how the people in the Bible benefited from praying with fasting. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. Some people say, well, the Old Testament passed away, and you cannot go with the Old Testament. This says everything written in that Old Testament was written for an example for us today. The stories about fasting in the Old Testament were written to let us know fasting works. I mean, and I'm proving it, it's through the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past, say everything. Everything that was written in the past was written to let us know fasting works. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, when you see these people having great victory through praying and fasting, it is encouraging and it tells us we can do it. So that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. These stories also show us how powerful fasting can be in the life of a prayer who really prays. If God's people in the Old Testament won their battles through prayer with fasting, so can we. And I personally have proven that over and over again in my own personal life. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, say all Scripture. All Scripture. What is he talking about, all Scripture? He's talking about the Old Testament. That's the only Scripture they had. And, of course, it applies to the New Testament now. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There you have it. That's the Old Testament. Well, it passed away. It did not. There's not. Jesus said, my word will never pass away, not a single word. But he fulfilled the legalism of it. You don't have to be circumcised today because he provided circumcision of the heart. You don't have to keep all the feasts because he has fulfilled everything. He's fulfilled the Passover. He is our Passover. Can you say amen? And if we were still under the law, and there's some people today, well, we've got to keep the Old Testament law. Well, then you got to do animal sacrifices. And if you're going to do part of it, you got to do it all. Amen. Somebody say amen. But Jesus Christ fulfilled that. He is our sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice animals and shed their blood. Thank God Peter would never allow it anyway. But anyway, and you know, some of these people need to keep their nose in their own business. They're trying to tell us all how to live. It's not their business. Can you say amen about things I do? I don't believe in mistreating animals, but I mean, they go nuts. You know, they want you to, eat poodles or something instead of turkey? I mean, that's what the billboard said. Anyway, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you don't practice the Scripture, old and new, and follow the example of the old and new, it says you'll not, what it really means is you'll not be equipped. Properly equipped. And fasting happens to be a part of that. And tithing happens to be a part of that. Amen. And they both are taught in the New Testament, by the way. So that the man of God may be thoroughly. And he's not talking about preachers. He's talking about all of us. So that the men and women of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why the church is falling behind and losing America. Is because we're not equipped with the gospel. And with the authority and the power of God that we should be equipped with. Prayer with fasting is a part of getting oneself equipped for every good work. The Bible shows that fasting produces great miracle-working men and women of God. Paul says, I'm in fastings often, and it says God used him to do extraordinary miracles. Praying over the word with fasting produces miracle-working faith. During one of these fasts, there's a lady showed up, wanted prayer. Her name was Sharon Key. Turned out her husband was Tom Key. He was a very powerful influence in the political environment around Knoxville and Knox County in this area. He was the campaign manager for Al Gore when he won the Senate seat. And he was the guy that put 911 on here in Knoxville. Very powerful guy. But he and his wife, Sharon, having some marital problems, they got into a big fuss, fight, whatever, in Pigeon Forge. The policemen were called, he was arrested, and he got fired from 911. And they were in a mess, so she called us during the fast. And they came over, both of them got delivered and set free, and God totally restored their marriage, and they both began to really serve God and work here at the church. Tom Key had one of the best voices I've ever heard in my life. He sang about every Sunday morning and for years. And then he got he was looking for a good job, and so finally found a good job. And he worked for what's the children's ministry in St. Jude. He got a job at St. Jude. The problem was he had to move to Memphis. And so, but they've always stayed close to this church and stayed a part of it. And Sharon Key still is a part of this church. She still comes some, not all the time, but she comes some. And she gets involved in things to this very day. He died a few years ago and went to heaven. But he became one of the most powerful men of God that I knew. I mean, he really lived it. He really walked in it. And how many of you ever heard of Francis Scott Key that wrote the Star Spangled Banner? That was one of his relatives that wrote that in 1814. Key. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you right now, God works miracles when people fast and pray. It saved their marriage, and they became a major couple doing God's work. And then he got a job working... may have been a transfer from St. Jude, I think, to Ireland. He worked in Ireland for quite a while. You're talking about a dynamic man. He and his wife were in real trouble, and when they came and joined the praying and fasting, God healed them, restored them. Amen. Fasting moves the heart of God. Let me show you some other things. And Deuteronomy 9:16, you may think everyone in your family that's not saved is hopeless. They won't listen to a single thing you say. They're totally rebellious to the Word of God, and you're thinking, there's no hope, there's hope. Deuteronomy 9:16, and I looked, and how many know you need to be fasting for more than just a new car? Amen. And a bigger house. Amen. And a better paying job. You need to be fasting for the salvation of the people around you who's not saved. It's okay to believe God for a house, a car, a good job. We must. But at the same time, it's about more than that. Deuteronomy 9:16, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God. In other words, they were a bunch of rebels. And Moses, he wanted to give up on them. He asked God, and God was ready to give up on them. He said, I'm going to kill them. And Moses said, no, no, no. And he began to intercede. Look, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way in rebellion, which the Lord had commanded you. You see, there's hope for rebels. We can fast for family rebels. Alice, a few months back, called me and said, God spoke to me and told me to pray for you and your family for pray and fast 21 days. That's never happened to me before in my life. No one's ever fasted just for me for 21 days that I know of. And I said, well, okay. And I had a brother that wouldn't speak to my mama. There's eight of us, seven of us worshiped the ground she walked on. But he got upset with her over something and refused to speak to her for about 20 years. And so after Alice fasted and prayed those 21 days, he just went home like nothing ever happened. I went down there and he just showed up laughing. And he's a great sense of humor. He was entertaining the whole family, just laughing and joking like nothing ever happened. I believe God really told Alice to fast and pray for me and my family, and I really believe that he came home because God anointed her to do that praying and fasting. Well, so far I've got three people excited. Verse 18, and I fell down. This is Moses. He said, when you rebelled against God, I didn't give up on you. I fell down before the Lord as at the first. 40 days and 40 nights I did neither eat bread nor drank water. What is that about? That is a God-ordained fast. You cannot fast water for more than 3 or 4 days. You will die. I have fasted up to about 3 days, food and water. And so I know how to fast. I know what works and what doesn't. The fast I recommend is the one that's really worked the best for me. Because if you keep your blood sugar up and your electrolytes up, you feel like reading the Bible and praying. And if you don't, you don't feel like reading the Bible and praying. If you're not reading the Bible and praying, you just might as well not fast. Hallelujah, glory to God. That pastor's right again. And if you think it's so easy to do a food fast and drink some juice, why don't you do it? I can be a smart aleck if I want to. Not being smart, but, you know, that's just the truth. It works. Because, it says, because of all your sins which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger, and I fasted and prayed that the Lord have mercy on you. What they had done, they built a golden calf. They molded a golden calf and started worshiping that calf and praising that calf for bringing them out of Egypt. Oh, you're talking about wicked people. Who would give credit that God deserves to idol? And I'm afraid some Christians do right now. Different things. Psalm 106, verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before them in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. You see, why did Moses turn away? How did Moses turn away the wrath of God? Praying and fasting. He didn't just pray, he fasted 40 days, food and water. It had to be ordained to God or he couldn't have done it. And since we started praying that God would anoint us to pray, it's become a lot easier. Moses saved his nation through prayer and fasting. And if you're not concerned about America, you ought to be. We got people all over this nation preaching, hate, 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 hate America, tear it down, burn it down, rebuild it. And the people saying that are Marxists. They want to rebuild it into a Cuba, a North Korea, or a China. That's what they want. We better get to thinking, praying and fasting. We think it can't happen here, but I'm telling you right now, it can happen because the Bible says, my hand is not shortened that I cannot save, nor ear heavy that I cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. We need to repent and call this nation and all of our loved ones and everybody we know to repentance and fasting and praying just like Moses. That's why another reason that is important for all of us to fast and pray, we need to fast and pray that God's going to save this country. America's got problems, but it's still the best place on earth to live. Why else would millions of people be trying to get in here? Are we the only dumb people that don't realize how great it is? All the world realizes how great it is, but except us. And we need to fast and pray for this nation. And if you don't like it, it's all you got. So save it. Prayer with fasting moves the heart of God. I believe we can save our families and friends through prayer and fasting. Tom Key, he became one of the most powerful Christians I know. He became best friends with a guy named TJ. He was from Iran. He was a Muslim. And we had another member that's working in Caiapha long before Chuck was here, and that Caiapha collapsed and died. But Scott, every Saturday morning, he said, pray for JC, pray for JC. And we'd pray for JC probably for 2 or 3 years. And Tom Key, without even knowing we were praying for him, invited him to come to one of the fast services. A Muslim. And he came and he sat right over there. And I forget who was preaching that night. But anyway, when it came to the altar call, one of our staff, I think, was talking to him this week. He's in Atlanta. Moved to Atlanta. He's an architect. And he was at UT becoming an architect. And he's pastoring an Iranian church now in Atlanta. Or helping pastor. But anyway, when it came time to do the altar call, he raised his hand. And he came up, gave his life to Jesus Christ. I walked down, laid hands on him, prayed for him. And he came back and shared his testimony here later. But I was telling his testimony one Sunday morning, and he's agreed to come back and share his testimony again. How many like that? Amen. JC. I don't even know his full name and don't want to know because the Muslims still try to kill him. And so if you think we got some bad Christians, most Baptists will not kill Methodists. Can you say amen? I said, JC raised his hand to accept salvation, accept the Lord as his Savior, and he's sitting somewhere in the congregation there, and he said, I did not. I said, what? I mean, don't challenge me, especially in front of people. I said, JC, you did raise your hand. I saw you raise your hand. He said, no, I didn't. I said, you did. And finally he said, no, I didn't. He said, someone caught me by my hand and raised it for me, and there was nobody sitting by him. That's when he came up. He knew something's going on. Praying and fasting. Well, I don't believe it works. You're wrong. Yeah, you're flat wrong. It does work. Amen. Glory to God. If you're not going to give me a big amen, I'll do it myself. Amen, brother. Amen. JC is a great man of God helping pastor a church right now in Atlanta. And God used Tom Key. They got delivered in a fast to bring him. Fasting helps enable us to hear from God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. 3 great armies came against him at one time, against Israel at one time. And he had no way of winning that battle except praying and fasting. So he called the whole nation to fast. Well, you're not supposed to tell anybody you're fasting. But how can you call a whole nation or a whole church to fast and not tell anybody? Here again, if you want to know how to fast, just ask somebody that never does it. Verse 14, then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. And I hear God in my spirit saying that to you, this church, this congregation. Whatever you're facing, do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We're praying and fasting, and God is taking on your battle as his personal intervention. That's a great word from God. And it came when they're praying and fasting. And I believe God's had me to read it right now as a word from God to each of you. The battle is not yours. That doesn't mean you are not going to need to cooperate with God and do what God tells you to do, including praying and fasting and doing whatever he tells you to do. But he is the one in charge, and he's going to fix it. Do not be afraid of the giants you're facing today, because the battle is not yours. Verse 16, tomorrow, go down against them. A lot of times I get a word, and I want God just to do it all. No, sometimes I got to show up for the battle. And they didn't know they'd already won, except they had a word. That's all they had. Tomorrow I go down against them. You see, and as a result of the prayer prayer with fasting, God spoke to them. God speaks to me most of the time when I'm really praying and fasting and meditating on the Word. Of course, that's all the time for me. Fast every Monday and once a month, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So about everything I hear from God is through prayer and fasting. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. As a result of their prayer with fasting, God spoke to them. In prayer with fasting, God gave me Matthew 8, 16, and 17. Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that when he came, he'd take our infirmities and our sicknesses. And many of you have been healed because I've shared that scripture with you. And that came from my time of praying and fasting. I was doing a 3-day fast. And I wasn't sick. I was just praying and fasting, and God just spoke to me. In prayer with fasting, God spoke to Paul and Barnabas and told them, the church, to support them on a missions journey, and they did. You see, they heard when the church, as I think I read that last week, as they were worshiping God with fasting. Then verse 22 here, it says, when they began singing and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the armies that had come against Israel, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. In other words, when they started marching with praying and singing, and somebody says, well, if you see there, if you just praise God, you'll get your miracle. No, that's not what happened. They fasted and prayed and got the word to go down, and when they went down with praise and worship, you should face every battle with praise and worship. And when God spoke to Paul and Barnabas, the church was worshiping God and fasting. Worship and fasting. It goes together. But don't expect just singing a song to God is going to take your problems away. It's not. Do not fear, because the battle is not yours but God's. They thank God for the promise with singing and praise, but they still had to act on the word and go show up for the battle. We believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. Verse 23, they, the enemy, helped to destroy one another. The response to prayer and fasting, God, this is the response to their praying and fasting, and God gave them a faith-building word, gave them the faith to go down and face an army they knew they didn't have a chance in beating. It went down anyway. When they acted on the word of the Lord, God set ambushes against the enemy, and they killed each other. That's what I pray for the Chinese Communist Party, that those people get in a fight with each other and destroy each other. Can you say amen? And that the Chinese people will be free from it. Well, that couldn't happen. It could. If people care enough to fast and pray. Fasting can open up our spirit man to God so we hear his voice more clearly. God's people fasted for protection. Here's another one. Fasting moves the heart of God. It saved a whole nation. Fasting helps enable us to hear from God. And then God's people fasted for protection. And how many know we need to be doing some praying and fasting for protection? I mean, these people shot all the time. These people get upset about something, just shoot somebody. As with chapter 8, verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God. What were they doing to humble themselves? What were they doing? Fasting. I've told you over and over again, they humbled themselves by fasting. So when it says humble yourself, or they humble themselves, he's talking about humbling themselves with fasting. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves. Hallelujah, glory to God. Humble ourselves with fasting before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and for all our possessions. He said, we fasted and prayed that God would protect us and our family members. Are you doing that? You live in a danger zone right now, buddy. Well, Knoxville's a safe place. Well, you need to listen to the news. It's not so safe. I ran into a couple of violent people myself, but God takes care of them. Can you say amen? Amen. You're praying fast, God's going to take care of you. Verse 23, so we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. According to this, the devil stick my pages together. When we fast and pray, he listens. He listens every time you pray, but sometimes you got such spiritual warfare going on around you that you need more than just prayer. And if you say fasted up, when you have a problem, you don't need to fast because you're already fasted up and ready for a fight. That's what I try to stay. I try to stay fasted up so if an emergency happens here in the church, my family, I don't have to stop and fast. I've already done it. Yeah. Verse 31, and the hand of our God was over us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy. See, God protected them from the thieves and the bandits and the ambushes, it says. And the ambushes, by the way, the king was allowing them to go. And he could have asked for soldiers, but he had bragged to the king how God watches over his people and protects his people. So he's embarrassed to go in and ask for soldiers. So he said, we're just going to fast and pray and trust God. And that's what they did. And God kept them all the way. Even the bandits were setting ambushes to rob them and kill them. God protected them. You see, that's an example. It's an example. If you want God to protect you and your family, you might want to fast a biscuit or something. Okay. Instead of asking for soldiers, they prayed with fasting. They all could have been killed. But they believed God would honor prayer with fasting, and he did. Here's another one. Fasting enables God's people to win spiritual battles, to win in spiritual warfare. And I just mentioned that. Sometimes praying is not enough. It doesn't get the job done because a demon is trying to kill you. And fasting is taught in the Word of God. Jesus said, when you fast. When you fast, you're going to have more authority over demons and devils. And if you don't, Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, then he, the angel, continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble, there it is again, what was he doing to humble himself? Fasting. Boy, I love it when I'm right. Do you like it when I'm right? If it's not the Word of God, I'm not going to preach it. Then the angel continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to understand, to gain understanding. And he was praying about wisdom and direction for something and a revelation. won't take time to get into that. That you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself with fasting before your God. Your words were heard on the first day, and I have come in response to them. See, Daniel stayed committed to praying and fasting until he got that wisdom revelation he was praying for. He didn't give up. The devil's hope is that if he fights you and holds off the blessings for 21 days or whatever, you'll just give up and go away. But the Bible teaches perseverance. Perseverance in everything. Perseverance in praying and fasting. And Daniel stayed and he persevered in praying and fasting till the angel showed up. And he said, I started the first day, but I ran into spiritual turbulence. Spiritual warfare. A great big demon hindered me, shut me down, kept me in Persia. But then God sent the archangel Michael, and I got set free, and here I am. While you're praying and fasting, you don't have a clue to what's going on around you. Neither do I. By the time or two, God's allowed me to see in the spirit realm. And I'm telling you right now, those demons are real. They tried to kill my daughter, Sabrina, and I saw it. God allowed me to see it. An angel came in response to prayer with fasting. Verse 13, and here's the angel still speaking. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. And one person asked me, A brilliant person, by the way. I was amazed that he asked me such a question. He says, well, do you think that was the king of Persia that captured that angel? I said, are you kidding me? One angel killed 84,000 soldiers. You think he's one guy can take an angel prisoner? I mean, you have to be short of brick to really believe that. Brick, one short load, one short by one brick. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days as a demon. And by the way, that those demons don't retire. He's still over Iraq and Iran right now. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, angel, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. There's spiritual warfare happening around us right now. The minute Daniel, and the devil's trying to take this country. We said, well, the Marxists, the communists, it's really Satan himself trying to destroy America. Why? Because it's the greatest soul-winning nation in the world. It's still the greatest missionary in the world. You say what you want to say, but this nation has a heart for other nations all over the world. And all the small nations are free today because of the one country, the United States of America. If you don't believe that, you need to give yourself a quick study in American history. I'm a history major. I know what I'm talking about that too. I don't know everything, but I don't normally tell that. The minute Daniel began to pray, God heard his prayer and sent an angel, but he had to be faithful, persevering in praying, fasting, till the angel got there. However, a demonic prince tried to stop the angel from reaching Daniel, even though he was on the way. When Daniel began to pray, the angels were activated and went to work. He said, the first time you prayed, I started. I was activated. Y'all pay attention yet? Is this a little bit different than the other sermons on praying and fasting that I've been preaching? You need them all. When the first angel was engaged in spiritual warfare, a more powerful angel, Michael, was sent because Daniel did not give up. He stayed faithful 21 days. I believe he'd quit on day 20. He wouldn't have got the angel. It says to persevere. The angel won the battle and Daniel got his answer. Prayer with fasting enabled Daniel to win in spiritual warfare. It can enable us. Fasting can enable us to win in spiritual warfare. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what it says, where anyone wants to believe it or not. I know a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians just do not believe that, but it clearly says that is our battle. That is our wrestling match. Demons and devils coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And Daniel defeated them through fasting. And it was a Daniel's fast. But it was a serious Daniel fast. He didn't just fast a watermelon. Can't get it this time of year anyway. He did a serious, he fasted seriously. And I think probably about all he ate was some vegetables and soup or something like that. And we got a few people here in church right now doing that same thing. There are things happening around us we do not see. You don't go by what you see. Pray, fast, meditate on the word, and believe God.